is the Lord Almighty comes to his prophet and says, this isn't the plan. What are you doing here? When we begin to sink into despair, or when we begin to have that attitude of defeat, we can listen to that rebuke where someone comes along and says, wait, what are we doing right now? What are we doing here? Jesus lives. The Lord Almighty has conquered the grave. He has promised us he is with us. If you listen in our Revelation Bible study during the midweek, we hear how he walks among his people to watch over us, to guide us, to protect us. And we see that though the people of God face trials and hardships, what are we doing in a mindset of despair? What are you doing here, Elijah? Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, August 9th, 2026. 1 Kings 19, 9-18.
You've probably seen it in the movies. It comes up where someone is at the point of absolute bottom, and yet some other character comes along who changes the plot as he says, or she says, there's always hope. Or the idea that, why do we fall? It's so we can get back up. And we listen to that and we hear and we think, well, that's the way it always ought to be. But what about when you're in the hot seat? What about when it's up to you? And you don't necessarily have the plot and the script written right in front of you for every action that's going to come. Is it so easy to believe that and to say that? What about for God's people as they're given a mission to carry out? And they see all that the devil is doing. They see what the unbelieving world has accomplished. And they see where they stand. And is it so easy to stand? Well, today we'll take one more look at what makes us different. Because our hope is not like in the movies. It really is in the script. It really is something that God promises us. Even in the depths of despair, we never lose hope. We'll see that as we consider God's word from 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah, at this point, had reached the heights of all achievements of some of the greatest prophets. Elijah is the one who confronted the prophets of Baal, who himself said, I will stand before Ahab this very day. And yet, what we see happen, shortly after that, Jezebel makes this oath that she will have Elijah dead. And so Elijah flees, runs away. And he eventually finds himself cowering in fear, and he makes a prayer. And his prayer is, Lord, I'm no better than my ancestors. Take my life. And I think he was right. Elijah was no better than his ancestors because there was no cause for his despairing. This mindset of despair was something that came out of the highest heights of God's greatness and promises, and yet he despaired. Think about it. He was just like his ancestors. The people in Egypt are brought out. They see the wonders of God, the plagues, and they even see him dividing the waters. And you know, what happens when they have a little bit of lack of material want for food or for water? Quickly, they say, oh, how it was better that we were in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here? The despair began to sink in quick. Or not too many decades later, as another generation came along, they were told they would inherit the land. But remember those 12 spies, those ancestors of Elijah? They went out to scout the land that God had promised, and what did they do? They sank into despair, except for Josh and Caleb. The other 10, they all said, we can't do it. We just can't. And this is nothing new with the people of God, because here we see now Elijah, who also saw the wonders of God and the miracles of God. And we see in chapter 19, he flees. He runs away. After Elijah heard about all this, he ran for his life. He came to Beersheba in Judah, and there he left his servant behind and then traveled another 40 days through the wilderness to the place where it seemed like it all began, Mount Horeb, or we maybe know it more as Mount Sinai. Maybe there he'll be safe. God's mountain. Is this something that we might say that we're better than our ancestors? Hasn't God given us the heights of a ministry and mission? I'm not just talking about despairing when you lose your job or when the economy's tough? What about as the church? God's given us, like his people, this promise and this mission to carry out. And what happens when suddenly our plans don't go as we desire? It's easy for God's people to look at the numbers, to look at the amounts, to look at what we have before us and to think, how can this be done? And then we look outside and we see the world outside of us and we say, look at them. The devil has such a sway over so many people, the way that they regard marriage versus what God says. And so many people have fallen, like in Elijah's time, to the lies of Jezebel, that the human body is to be degraded, that it's to be snuffed out before its first breath, that life doesn't matter. We begin to despair as we see this mindset all around us, and it makes our mindset cower. And the people of God fall into the same thing as our spiritual ancestors. But brothers and sisters, we've no reason to despair. We've no reason at all to despair. Elijah had just conquered the prophets of Baal. He had just called down fire from heaven. The people had just proclaimed the Lord is God. There was no cause for despair. The Lord, the weatherman, had caused the rain to come down after so many years of drought at Elijah's word. Why would he despair? The disciples, when they got into that boat, their immediate response was, it's a ghost or a demon that's after us. Hadn't they seen Jesus drive out the forces of evil? Hadn't they seen who he was? And so have we as the people of God. No, you haven't witnessed the exodus from Egypt. You haven't witnessed the fire raining down on the altar against the gods of Baal. But you've witnessed and heard what God has done. He sent his son. There is no reason for despair. Though it would have been easy for the disciples to sink into it, they could continually say, surely you are the Son of God, even as he hung on the cross, because God would carry out his plan. When it came to the time for Elijah to realize the cure for despair, this is what happened. Elijah hid in a cave by Mount Horeb, and the Lord told him he would appear to him. First, God said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Do you catch that? The cure for despair is the Lord Almighty comes to his prophet and says, this isn't the plan. What are you doing here? When we begin to sink into despair, or when we begin to have that attitude of defeat, we can listen to that rebuke where someone comes along and says, wait, what are we doing right now? What are we doing here? Jesus lives. The Lord Almighty has conquered the grave. He has promised us he is with us. If you listen in our Revelation Bible study during the midweek, we hear how he walks among his people to watch over us, to guide us, to protect us. And we see that though the people of God face trials and hardships, what are we doing in a mindset of despair? What are you doing here, Elijah? Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And you might remember the sequence. The answer for despair, we might hope to be a great shattering wind or earthquake or fire, that somehow God would make his presence known like he did in the past. Maybe that's the answer for despair, that God will somehow turn things around with a miracle, and that's what we need, right? No. The cure for despair is found as a gentle whisper calls out Elijah. And that gentle voice says, once again, what are you doing here? It's the same for us. When the church of God and the mission that's given to us to share his gospel causes us to step back in fear because we see what we're up against, or we begin to have that attitude or mindset that it's just too much, we can hear that gentle rebuke, but firm. What are you doing here? And then recall what God has done. That gentle voice comes to Elijah. Elijah points out, I've been very zealous for the Lord. They've rejected you. They've killed your prophets, and I'm the only one left. You see the despair he sunk into. He's repeating this refrain over and over. God lifts him out with that gentle word. The word of the Lord came to him. Go back the way you came, not here. Go back to the place I've called you to serve and do what I've called you to serve, to do. And he says, I will have you do something for me. I will have you anoint Hazael king over Aram, Jehu son of Nishri king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat to succeed you as prophet. When we despair, the Lord reminds us he still has people in the earthly realm, in the kingdom of this world, serving his purpose, as the king of Aram would do and the king of Israel. And we still hear, as Elijah says here, not just the kingdom of this world, but in the kingdom of God, there are still others on our side that God will send to our side. Elisha will join with you, Elijah, and he will follow in your steps. You're not alone. When we begin to despair, we take our eyes off of our small worries, and we see God is still controlling the nations of this world. And that same God who controls the nations of this world still is sending pastors, teachers, missionaries, and prophets to stand alongside with us. And we are told, as Elijah is, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Brothers and sisters, we have no cause for despair. Though it may seem at times that our numbers are small, and we might be tempted to think, I'm the only one left. My family or my friends or the people around me have all turned aside and bowed down to worship the gods of this world. But God says, what are you doing here? Am I still not the I Am? Do I still not control the nations? And as we read earlier in the book of Romans, has not the God who called us to faith, who declared us innocent as he justified us, will he not also glorify us and carry out every good plan to completion so that nothing can separate us from his love? And yes, we are not alone. He is with us, and his church will not fail. What makes Christians different? Yes, we'll face trials. We'll face great hardships, persecution. But we will not despair because we have hope in Jesus. Amen.